Good morning. The Board of Supervisors is now in session. Would everyone please rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have any changes to the agenda, please?
You have one change to today's agenda under Consent Agenda Item B7. It's a request to approve an agreement which has been clerks filed between the San Luis Obispo Flood Control and Water Conservation District and the Woods Humane Society, Inc. for water and wastewater services at the County Operations Centers located at Kansas Avenue in San Luis Obispo 2nd District. A recommendation is for approval and instruct the chairperson to sign. Staff is requesting this item be amended by replacing the transmittal page and staff letter to reflect that the agreement is between Woods Humane Society and the county, not the San Luis Obispo Flood Control and Water Conservation District. That's your changes for today.
Thank you very much. That brings us to the presentation calendar.
Move approval.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. With that, I would ask Larry Kelly to please come to one of the podium, please. And this is a resolution commending Larry Kelly for 29 years of service to the County of San Luis Obispo. Whereas Larry Kelly served as a contract planner with the Planning and Building Department from 1976 to 1978 in the Development, Review, and Subdivision sections of the office and then was hired on permanent status. And whereas Larry Kelly has worked in the Advanced Planning Division of the Department as staff for the County Airport Land Use Commission and Capital Improvement Coordinator in coordination with General Services. And whereas Larry Kelly, in working for the Planning and Building Department for a total of 29 years, has been involved in Heritage Ranch Master Plan, Parks Planning, Library Planning, Coastal Access Ways Planning, many rezonings, development of the county's road naming and addressing system and ordinance, as well as obtaining implementing funding, supervision and development of the department's enforcement section and reestablishment of the nuisance abatement process, supervision of the public information section. I said it went on. I'm not finished. In-depth involvement in development of the mainframe building permit and land use permit tracking systems, development and administration of the allocation system, and supervision and development of the department's certificate of compliance, legal lot, and road naming addressing section. And whereas Larry Kelly has, over the years, been the department's leader in compiling and evaluating computer-based property data information, which is used on a daily basis by staff and the public. And whereas Larry Kelly's institutional knowledge of the design configuration of every piece of curb, gutter, and sidewalk in specific locations throughout the county is without peer. And whereas Larry Kelly has provided dedicated, knowledgeable, and honest service to customers and staff alike. And whereas Larry Kelly will be sorely missed by his co-workers. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors, State of California, that Larry Kelly be and hereby is commended for his meritorious and conscientious service to the people of San Luis Obispo County. Be it further resolved that the Board of Supervisors of San Luis Obispo County wishes Larry Kelly continued health and prosperity in his retirement and future endeavors. So, Larry, if you please come forward.
Shirley. Good.
Thank you. I didn't see him over there.
I want to thank you very much for this. I've really enjoyed my years of service with the county and with your board. And with the Planning Commission, it's been a joy working with the Planning Commission and the board in helping the county to grow and to prosper and in an environmentally sensitive way. And I really enjoyed it. I've kind of been jack of all trades for the department. I've done a little bit of everything, and I really enjoyed in that role because I've been able to work with a bunch of different different sections of the department and got to know the staff in much more detail and much more friendly nature all the way across. And so I've really enjoyed it. Hopefully I've helped to make a lasting improvements to the county, and so I really appreciate my service with the county. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Hollander wishes to say a few words.
Madam Chair, members of the board, good morning. I am Vic Hollander, the Director of the Planning and Building Department. And on behalf of a grateful Planning and Building Department, we would like to extend our congratulations and thanks to Larry for all his dedicated services throughout the years. I think that it goes without saying, I think the resolution you just concluded reading clearly summarizes a dedicated county employee in providing the services that taxpayers clearly want and deserve. He's the type of individual that is not the proverbial bureaucrat, but he's the guy down the street who's your friend when you need him. He's that colleague who is always willing to give that extra effort to complete a job, and the type of person you want on your team. He's clearly trustworthy, he's loyal, and he's very dedicated to the job. And I think that he's been an excellent leader within the organization. And I would be remiss in saying that Pat Beck, the assistant director, would have been here, but she's off fly fishing in Montana and Idaho. Hopefully she'll return next week. She wanted me to extend her gratitude towards Larry and all his work and his efforts. Again, Madam Chair, thank you very much. Larry, thank you again.
Okay.
Well, I would like to add that in my 15 and a half years, first on the Planning Commission and now here at the board, if Larry Kelly's name was on any of the projects that came to me, I knew that without any doubt I could trust what was in that document. There was never any question, and I really appreciated being able to give that trust. Thank you, Larry. With that, we will move
Madam
on
Chair.
To... Pardon?
Oh, I had punched the button. I didn't...
Go ahead.
Oh, they didn't change this. Seat 4.
You mean I've been
Whoops.
Eliminated?
Wait a minute.
I want to do one thing before everybody leaves, and that's Larry. She just mentioned 15 and a half years. I go back into Pass Robles, so I got about 25 or 29 years that Larry's name's came up. And I think not only from the family you have here, but outside, everybody you've ever dealt business with, I think will truly miss you. And I see a few of them in here that even stood up and applauded you. So I think that's the biggest thing we're going to miss is Larry Kelly's name was around in various different ways. And I think all the reason these people came today is to see who's next on that list. So, Larry, with all due respect, thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Now it's on.
I think we've all appreciated... Ah, thank you. Now we go.
That was weird.
Now it's the right name. Okay.
That's weird.
In case you wonder what I'm talking about up here, I have this little thing, and it shows me whose name it comes up next, and it can be programmed for any one of the various boards that meets here. in the board chambers, and it had not been changed from the last one, the last board that met here, and I was getting really confused with the what was coming up on my screen. So with that, we will move on to Supervisor Lenthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would retired CHP Captain Ernie Tripke and retired CHP Lieutenant Ron Nelson please report to the podium here? I kind of like saying that, Ernie. I'm telling you what to do. First, one of the more enjoyable things of my new job here is recognizing and seeing old friends from my previous life in law enforcement. Ernie Tripke was one of those. I didn't have the pleasure of knowing Ron Nelson that well, but I've known Ernie Tripke for about 35 years. He is a retired local CHP captain. He's one of those people that was not a bureaucrat that said, "What can I do to help?" I could embarrass him and tell some stories, but I won't do that right now. What we're here to do is to honor these two officers. This is the 50th anniversary coming up on the 30th of September of the James Dean crash. And we're not only honoring these officers as the investigating officers, the last two surviving CHP officers, I believe, that had anything to do with this accident, but to also remind ourselves, only recently we can think of all the tragedies we've had with the fatalities and traffic collisions and how important it is for traffic safety. And the only little note I have to say here before I read the whereas is, I'm sorry, I just jotted this down on the way to work this morning. Every once in a while, a moment occurs that leaves an indelible mark on a person's life. For young CHP officers Ernie Tripke and Ron Nelson, it was investigating the James Dean car accident. Now, they'll both tell you they didn't really know who James Dean was at the time, so the rest is history, as they say. But we're here to honor them, and I'm proceeding to read this resolution and to give them. Whereas on September 30th, 1955, an accident occurred on Highway 41 that led to the death of James Dean. And whereas retired CHP Patrol Captain Ernie Tripke and retired Lieutenant Ron Nelson were the first officers on the scene. Whereas Officers Tripke and Nelson are the last surviving witnesses who documented the accident scene of the untimely death of James Dean. And whereas there is a memorial dedicated to the memory of James Dean located near the crash site in Chelan. And whereas it is one of the most notable accidents in San Luis Obispo County, reminding all of us of the absolute need to drive safely and responsibly at all times. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby proclaim September 30th as the 50th anniversary of the accident in Chelan, California, that led to the death of James Dean, and commends the work of Officers Ernest Tripke and Ronald Nelson as the investigating officers. Thank you, gentlemen.
Probably the most ironic part of that.
Well, you still have to give your name for the record.
Pardon?
Oh, I'm up here in front.
You have to give your name, or you state your name and then get a little closer to the microphone.
My name is Ernie Tripke. I live in San Luis Obispo. Probably the most ironic part about that accident 50 years ago was that I had never heard of James Dean, didn't know who he was or anything about it. Many cars came by the scene that night, and they asked, "Is that Dean's car? Is that Dean's car?" No, I don't know. And finally, they put Jimmy Dean together. And I thought of Jimmy Dean, the sausage maker. I had no idea it was Jimmy Dean, the movie star. At any rate, Ron and I were just doing our job that night. We got the accident call and headed out to the scene and took care of things. And we want to thank Supervisor Lenthal and the entire board for this honor. Thank you.
I think Ernie stated what I'm thinking, and I want to thank you.
And our next presentation is Supervisor Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to invite Tim Duff of the California Coastal Conservancy to the podium, please. It gives me great pleasure to read a resolution proclaiming the month of October 2005 as Salmon and Steelhead Awareness Month in San Luis Obispo County. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas California salmon and steelhead are an indicator of a quality living experience in this state, they provide a substantial benefit to local economies, which rely on tourism and outdoor recreation. Salmon and steelhead are a sign of our natural heritage, dating back millions of years. And whereas salmon and steelhead were once so abundant that they turned rivers into rainbows of color, witnessing their journey has captivated the spirits of many. And whereas Native Americans have depended upon salmon and steelhead for sustenance, respect for this natural gift was accompanied with tribal ceremonies, restrictions on take, and cultural conservation. And whereas salmon and steelhead are treasures we could lose, their populations have plummeted. Whereas the diminished species has now precipitated grave concern and multiple agency involvement, resulting in the listings of many salmonid species as endangered or threatened. Each of us has an interest in the success of salmon in our communities. Therefore, we all must take action by educating, restoring, reconciling, and healing. And now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors, County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby proclaim October of each year Salmon and Steelhead Awareness Month to honor salmon and steelhead through service and activism, and to recognize salmon and steelhead as the premier symbols of healthy oceans, clean water, rivers, and streams. May we join in collaborative efforts to restore and heal the symbol of our aquatic world, salmon and steelhead trout. Thank you.
You can say a few words.
Madam Chairman, board members, thank you very much for recognizing the Coastal Conservancy, and I just want to keep my comments
brief. And your name for the record.
My name is Timothy Duff. I'm the Central Coast Project Manager for the State Coastal Conservancy. Wanted to thank the board for your ongoing support for the efforts of the Steelhead Coalition, of which Marla had the vision to establish years ago. And there are many buzzwords that describe collaborative partnerships, public-private efforts. The Steelhead Coalition really is a model for statewide efforts to restore habitat for steelhead, which are emblematic of larger efforts to improve and maintain our water quality, our watersheds, our coastal streams, the flow to the ocean. And it's really the efforts of Marla's coalition that she's created with state, federal, local agencies, our nonprofit partners. The Conservation Corps has been instrumental in implementing our projects on the ground, and the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County has been instrumental as well. And we'd like to thank them for their efforts, because they really do make our work in Sacramento and our offices here in Oakland, up in Oakland, that much easier to do. So it's been a pleasure to work with all of them. We appreciate your ongoing support, and with that, I'd like to hand it over to Marla for a few words. Thank you.
I'm Marla Morrissey with the Steelhead and Stream Recovery Coalition, and I want to thank Tim Duff from the California Coastal Conservancy for bringing $350,000 to our county to remove barriers that stop steelhead getting up into their spawning habitat. And I brought a couple presents for you, especially you, Cacho. You asked for this a couple years ago. This is our second map, and what this is, is San Luis Obispo County, and it's the collaboration of about 15 different agencies and watershed groups showing where the steelhead streams are, what the 7 permitting agencies you need to contact to do work in the streams, and it shows where, you know, we have steelhead and where we've lost steelhead, and it also shows where all the watershed groups in the county are working. It's available online at steelheadrecovery.org. So I'm giving you a copy of this today, but if you need more copies, just let us know, and you can go online to look at it. And we also made a film, and it's going to be on at lunch today, and I have a copy of Steelhead and Salmon, A Time for Recovery. It's just about 11 minutes, and one of the supervisors for San Luis Obispo County is in here, so I know you're going to go home tonight and watch it and see which of you is here. I'd also like to introduce Chris Raymer from Senator Abel Maldonado's office, and Senator Maldonado was the originator of Salmon and Steelhead Awareness Month, and Chris has something to give you from Senator Maldonado's office, too.
I have a certificate of recognition for the Salmon and Steelhead Awareness Month from Senator Maldonado, commending the hard workers that are here to help protect and restore the habitat for the steelhead, and also commending the board and the recognition as well.
Thank you.
We'll put it where everybody has access to it. So.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you,
Martha.
Thank you so much.
Let me see. Is it Shirley or is it Jim?
I don't know which. We'll have to look and see who's it.
Madam Chair, we have another speaker.
Oh, yes, Dominic. Mr. Hello. Santangelo.
Dominic Santangelo, Camp Director, California Conservation Corps. On behalf of the young men and hardworking young men and women of the California Conservation Corps, I thank you for your support. It's an honor to be part of the coalition. As we speak today, the CCC is working in four crews, working in three creeks of San Luis Obispo County, not to mention the least of which is the Rio Grande Creek. We have 25 Corps members down there beating the rain and getting out the debris in an environmentally sane fashion. Thank you again. And I'd like to introduce Dan Berman.
Madam Chair, members of the Board of Supervisors, my name is Dan Berman. I'm the director of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, and on behalf of that organization and on behalf of the steelhead that use the estuary and the watershed streams, I'd like to thank you for recognizing October as Salmon and Steelhead Awareness Month and for the work of the supervisors and the county in keeping our watersheds clean and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Yeah, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to point out that wherever you live in San Luis Obispo County, you have a role to play in protecting the waters that steelhead and salmon reside in. Even the North County, the Salinas River watershed, the Salinas River drains into Monterey Bay and historically was a habitat for both coho salmon and steelhead. And over the years, we have found remnants steelhead populations in some of the tributary creeks to the Salinas River in San Luis Obispo County. So it's not just coastal streams, but the Salinas River as well. And I want to thank Marla, really, for kicking this off many years ago and uniting the various entities in San Luis Obispo County that were working in creek and river restoration, bringing them together to work collectively to really amplify our efforts and therefore our rewards in restoring the steelhead and salmon habitat. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Okay, with that, concludes our presentation calendar, and we will go into public comment. The first speaker is Julie Rodewald, followed by Lee Ferraro.
Good morning, Julie Rodewald, County Clerk Recorder. I just wanted to remind everyone of every resident and voter in Los Osos Community Services District that today is Election Day. I just spent 2 hours out at the polls this morning. It's a beautiful day. a beautiful fall day in Los Osos, so there's no reason not to get out to the polls and vote. Business was very brisk this morning. We want to also remind everybody who's been issued an absentee ballot to make sure that gets turned in today at the polling place or to our office by 8 o'clock tonight so we can count those ballots. And we will be posting results after the polls close tonight on our website at www.slowelections.org, or they can call our office at 781-5080. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lee Ferraro, followed by Eric Greening.
What did you do?
Limping to the podium here. Thank you, Chairperson Bianchi and members of the board. I wanted to extend a very warm and formal welcome to all of you to come to our big event Friday at the Creekside Career Center, 4111 Broad Street, which is the corner of Tank Farm and Broad Street, kitty corner from the Marigold Center. We will be observing our 25th anniversary as the Private Industry Council of San Luis Obispo County. And you should know of the 600 such organizations nationwide, there are only four who've been around as long as we have. Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, California, and Boston, Massachusetts are older than we are by only about a year. And there was a lot of vision years ago, long before I was here, by the Board of Supervisors, all of whom are doing something else now today, who ushered in this organization. And through the years, including the time that I've been here with this county, I have always enjoyed excellent support from this Board of Supervisors. And I have also, I must thank David Edge and his predecessors for always alerting us to situations we should be aware of before they become a big situation. And that's one of the great treasures of David and his staff. We're not perfect, and we know that. There's a job fair at the center Friday from noon to 4. Anybody is welcome to come to that. We have a full house with employers, all levels of employers in the county. And then there's a short break, and then 5 to 7 is the open house. And we're going to have some resolutions presented there, including one from your board. And I do not know if, surely, if you can make that or not. If someone can.
Someone will be there.
Somebody will. That's great. We also have a resolution from both Sam Blakesley and Abel Maldonado, and certificates from Bill Thomas and Lois Capps. Try to cover all the bases there. Again, I can't thank all of you enough for your ongoing support, alerting us to situations we should be aware of and helping us through those, and also honoring us and recognizing us when we do well. It's a pleasure to serve with a fine group as you and an excellent county staff. I should say that also. Admission is free. And again, let us know who might be presenting the resolution from the county, and we'll look forward to that. Any questions, feel free to call me at 788-2601. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Greening, followed by David Dugan.
I'm Eric Greening, and to start with the Steelhead, I thank you for recognizing those good people. A couple of other groups I would like to recognize. We have a first flush incident coming with the first rain of the season when lots of nasty stuff goes into the creeks, and I'd like to thank the surf riders and the grassroots organization at Cuesta College for their intent to get out and actually get samples during this event, so we have some information. And I'd suggest that you visit the foot of the Cayucas Pier on Saturday, October 8th, and buy local art, and you will be helping to support these events. My other topic, last week a story made the front page of the Tribune, which one of your aides vehemently criticized one of our local advisory committees and threatened that the county could essentially shut it down by pulling the liaison and stopping all project referrals. No specific instance of wrongdoing by this committee was put forward, only a general allegation that citizens attending were allowed to be overly critical of proposed projects. Such allegations actually point out the value of local advisory councils. They serve as lightning rods to deflect intense controversies that would otherwise land right here in these chambers and allow for issues to surface and one hopes be resolved on the local level. Projects that meet intense citizen opposition at early stages locally have the chance to be modified to address these concerns. Better it happen early there than late here. The story indicated that an agenda item might soon come before your board to re-examine the roles and responsibilities of local advisories, with the assumption that proposals to limit their scope might be acted on. I am here to request that if there is to be such an agenda item, it be announced with at least a month's lead time, and that the initial announcement should include all possible action alternatives to be considered, so that each advisory committee has the opportunity in the intervening month to discuss the issues and to each make a collective response if they so choose. My own opinion is that controversy is not something to be suppressed, but worked through, that the earlier it can be addressed, the better the chance for a harmonious final outcome. And the last thing we want is to have controversy fester quietly beneath the surface, only to burst forward at the last moment when so much work has already been done. So that is my concern. And I don't know if an agenda item is forthcoming, but please, if it is, give it plenty of lead time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. David Dugan, followed by Michael Kovacs.
David Dugan, resident of Los Osos. Chair, President Bianchi, board. Dark Territory, The Death of Democracy in Small Town America, a nonfiction book. The preface. The intent of a nonfiction book is to impart upon the reader a factual recall of an event or events. My intent in writing this tell-all book is just to do that, tell it all. In Dark Territory, I will lead you through an Alice in Wonderland story with all the characters and plots coinciding with its real-world counterparts. Unfortunately, this story is a tragedy. For in Dark Territory, the truth and democracy are perverted and slain, so those in power can dictate to the people and not serve the will of the people. I'll put forth dates, times, and places so the reader can confirm the factual basis of my tale. I will impart names, opportunities, and motives so that you, as the reader, can discern the truth from fiction. Dark Territory is about real people and real situations. It's about our elected officials and community icons who have personal agendas and are guided by special interests. Dark Territory, The Death of Democracy in a Small Town America, will show you that some people will try to win at any cost, including the denial of our rights to unobstructed and unhindered elections. You will see a pattern of violations with the using of public resources to further a political agenda. You will learn how, through innuendo and threat of disgrace, one person can be forced to vote this way or that way, regardless of that person's innocence. But dark territory goes even deeper than mere dirty tricks in politics. You will understand that even though the lives and livelihood of 15,000 people are at stake, a small group of people will lie, cheat, and steal just to benefit themselves. Yet Dark Territories goes even deeper, for in the face of these revelations, higher authority has turned a blind eye and has even participated in these atrocities. These autocrats and reprobates who are appointed to or elected have turned their backs on the very people they have sworn to serve. So you see, Dark Territory, The Death of Democracy in Small Town America, is a tell-all book, a nonfiction that's horribly and tragically real. And just like Alice in Wonderland, you will wonder and question, oh dear, how could such a tragic thing have happened? And the answer is so simple. But to find out, you'll just have to wait for the book to come out, or even better, you can read the court transcripts. It really doesn't matter to me. And if you think this all ends with an election, don't bank on it. This nightmare will never be over for some of you. Thank you, and have a nice day.
The next speaker is Michael Kovacs, followed by Bob Lloyd.
Good morning. I am Michael Kovacs from District Number 5. Today I came by because last Sunday's article in the Viewpoint section needs some corrections. By fellow citizen Berman was writing about, quote, supervisors are letting growth destroy county's rural nature, unquote. It must be corrected because not all supervisors voted for that issue on August 2nd. No. two of the supervisors, namely Supervisor Bianchi and my supervisor, Patterson, voted in accordance with the will of majority of their constituents rather than against the will of majority of district number 1, 3, and 4. Why? Why are you supporting the big commercial retailers and hurting the small ones in our county? The small commercial retailers who helped making our county rank number 1 in state of California. It's clearly against the will of majority. The city of San Luis Obispo voted 75%, I think, against the Marketplace project. Didn't it give you any message? And I was one of the 15 or a dozen public commenters on August 2nd who were speaking for helping the local commercial businesses, retailer businesses, and preserve our special county nature that got 20 years ago the number one ranking, I repeat again, a number one ranking in the state of California. How far you three Board of Supervisors intend to hurt this special nature in our county? And in the same newspaper, however, I must comment Supervisor Lenthal for his very fine article. I read it twice, calling for a community dialogue before he will cast his final vote that will be the dominant vote, I believe, whether it should go or should not go forward, that project. I just only want to make a comment on this briefly, that this community dialogue should have been preceded your vote on August 2nd, or you should have paid more attention to the 75% vote.
And your time is up, Michael.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for your comments. Bob Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. I just want to remind you, I got elected to remind the board that this weekend is the Harbor Festival down in Morro Bay, and you're all welcome to come down, and the community is welcome to come down. We're going to have a whole new kids area for the Harbor Festival, and it's going to be a great weekend, so we hope to see you there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your comments. That's my last request to speak forum for public comment. If there's no one else, I will close it to the public, and we will go for the consent agenda.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, but I did push my button again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Supervisor Ovid.
It's kind of like being over in a corner here. And
yeah, well, it is. This thing isn't big enough.
I wanted to respond to something that there's some miscommunications that are being spread around out there about Templeton. First of all, both Cliff Smith and myself are quite aware of this issue in Templeton for over the past 2 years, and we have dealt with it once or twice before. This time it came to us from a citizen who attended a meeting and some others who were afraid to make a presentation based on the actions of the advisory committee at that particular time. My request to Mr. Smith was that he contact the chair of the board and ask that we meet privately with the members to sit down and discuss correct protocols at meetings. This does not have anything to do with an individual project. This actually has to do with the protocols that have been happening at these meetings and public not being allowed to make their presentation on either side of an issue. We received communication back from the chairman, and it was told to us that we could do that during the public comment time period on the agenda. And with that, I was out of town, and I asked Mr. Smith to attend. Also, my planning commissioner, Mr. Rose, was there and did express the issue that the advisory committee was not properly handling meetings and that people were not allowed to make presentation on all sides of the issue to represent the total community. From my understanding, the chair also invited the media to this and has chosen to make this a media event as opposed to trying to sit down and resolve the issues. We are still working on it, and the matter is that advisory committees were formed to allow all people of the community to speak. They are not established to be someone's personal agenda or to run it as such. And this was the issues that we are facing with the Templeton Advisory, and we are working forward to try to resolve that issue.
I see no other request to speak for him, so I would like to add, I have three advisory councils in my district, and the advisory councils are places for people to discuss issues. They are not a place for people to discuss anyone else's personality, flaws, or parentage. And I really always have to keep emphasizing that everyone has the right to free speech, but verbal abuse is not, in my opinion, freedom of speech. And so long, my advisory councils are really pretty calm. Occasionally someone will get out of hand, but it's the exception rather than the rule. But simply because a staff person is there to make a presentation on what is or is not county rules or regulations or county policy does not give the public the right to verbally abuse a county staff person. They're there to give information and to answer questions. And frankly, you know, I've instructed every staff person that ever comes to one of my advisory councils that if someone becomes abusive and I'm not there or I don't have a chance to stop it, leave. Just get up and walk out, because abuse of a staff person is not appropriate at any time, any place, anywhere. So with that, I mean, this is a really hot subject for me. I get very distressed. So issues, yes. As far as I'm concerned, you can discuss issues all night long at advisory council meetings, but it should be done in a civil and a polite manner. With that, I will close it to the public, and we will move on to the consent agenda. I have some requests to speak forms for the consent agenda. First is Eric Greening, followed by Jamie Kirk.
I'm Eric Greening on item B15, which I presume the next speaker will probably also be speaking on. Obviously, this is a long-awaited milestone, the request to approve an amended agreement with Rincon Consultants for the EIR on the Santa Margarita Ranch Agricultural Cluster Subdivision. And the staff report says, quote, a future development scenario is also proposed for the ranch, unquote, presumably meaning the ranch as a whole. And so I guess my question is to understand the relationship between the specific project, which is a cluster subdivision of, I think, about 111 or 112 units, and whatever is planned on the ranch as a whole. And I guess the key question here is with alternatives analysis, obviously the cluster subdivision as the main subject of this EIR will receive alternatives analysis. Will the ranch as a whole and whatever is planned for the rest of the ranch also be receiving alternatives analysis, or will a ranch-wide project be essentially put forward as the baseline on which the alternatives for the cluster subdivision are considered to set a context for the cumulative impacts analysis? So again, I guess the community for a long time has been sort of struggling with the relationship between the smaller picture and the bigger picture, and this might be a chance to elucidate it a little bit further as it goes into this very important stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jamie Kirk, followed by Michael Kovacs.
Good morning. Thank you, Mrs. Chairperson. Jamie Kirk representing the owners of Santa Margarita Ranch this morning. We're very excited to be here. We're kicking off with hopefully will be a detailed process. We would like to start, though, with a clarification to the application description, just for the record, which was provided in your package this morning. We'd like to state that the Santa Margarita Ranch LLC has submitted a vesting tentative tract map. We think it's important to add that language in there. And conditional use permit application to the county to subdivide a 6,050-acre site into 111 residential clustered parcels, various ranch uses, wineries, farm support uses, several open space parcels, and an approximately 2,417-acre remainder parcel. We just want to include that for the record that that's the application that's been submitted. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Michael Kovacs.
Thank you. I would like to comment on B3, B8, and B15. Each and every one of these are authorizing outside vendors, outside contracts. And one thing I'd like to mention, in the past, the county administrator used to include the amounts of these contracts in these agenda items. The public has no longer had any information as to the magnitude of these businesses given away to outside contractors. Why had it been discontinued? Not all of us has the opportunity to come in the county office and so on, burning gas and parking places and so on, to study in the libraries or here in the county office the details included in the booklets here outside someplace. Also, the other thing is, did anybody examine or investigate whether or not these outside county services can be done by inside personnel paid by the public with the expertise that this county so carefully hired? I don't know why so frequently such consulting and different type of outside services should be let outside. And lastly, B14. B14 is another new tax increase upon the public to us. Did anybody, this is requested by the auditor controller, did anybody approve the legitimacy and the justification for, the legitimacy of and the justification for such a property tax increase? Please, this is another one of the many, many, currently over 1,000 county fees and taxes that you have been levying upon us. This is not much of tax increase, but it is still a tax increase. Please do not approve this agenda item. Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. That's my last request to speak form for the consent agenda. So with that, I will close it to the public, bring it back to the board. Mr. Ovitt, do you have any items?
Yeah, I want to make a comment back to Mr. Kovacs on B14 as to how that was established, and if B15 is brought up, I'll make a comment on that also.
Okay, Mr. Patterson?
B15 comment.
Mr. Lenthal?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Shajan?
Not at this time, thank you.
Okay, I'd like to have someone comment on 3, 8, and 15. Probably Mr. Edge when we get there. So, Mr. Patterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like planning staff to address the issues raised by Mr. Greening and Ms. Kirk on item B15 regarding the EIR for the Santa Margarita Ranch. One question was regarding an alternative development scenario for the entire project. Maybe a clarification of how the EIR was scoped would be appropriate. And then Ms. Kirk's comments regarding amending the item to include the specifics that she stated.
Thank you, Mr. Caruso.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Supervisor Patterson, James Caruso. I'm the project manager for the planning department on the Santa Margarita Ranch EIR. Take the easy one first. Ms. Kirk asked for an acknowledgement that it is a vesting tentative map and there is a remainder parcel. That's true. The transmittal memo should have reflected that. That will be made clear throughout the rest of the process. Mr. Greening had asked about alternatives in the future development scenario and the specific project being applied for, which is the agricultural cluster, and how the alternatives analysis will address one another. Interesting question. That's something that we've been looking at for quite some time. The reason the future development scenario is there is a result of actually for two reasons. The first is a result of a settlement agreement on a lawsuit between private party, the applicant, and the county. And the second reason is purely for cumulative impact. A properly completed cumulative impact analysis must look at reasonably foreseeable projects. How the EIR is going to integrate those two is going to be a very interesting exercise. We have a general framework that the way this EIR is going to be prepared is to look at the general setting of the ranch in its context. Then at the program level, we'll be looking at that future development scenario, and then at the specific level, the ag cluster. Each one of those levels will have its own alternatives analysis that hopefully, and this is our goal, is everything is integrated into a package so they all make sense. It's a tall order. I don't think we've ever done anything like this before. One of the reasons we've chosen Rincon Consultants to prepare this EIR is because they have a lot of experience with ag clusters and dealing with these types of issues. We have committed to the community and to the owners that at the end of this process, we will succeed in reaching our goal of having a document that looks at these integrated alternatives in one context, and I'm hoping that we're going to be successful.
Can I integrate one thing? To my past knowledge, we also have a total general plan, Salinas plan, and address this, and we also have a development plan or development agreement, which this mirrors. So we do have a conceptual look at how the total overall issue is, that I don't know that there's going to be any changes on it, because if I recall, the controversy we went through just to get the development agreement done specifies exactly what this is going to, the operation is going to be like, and it doesn't allow for any other options.
Yeah, that's the future development scenario. Also, the Salinas River update has that conceptual look. We're looking to get a little bit more detailed than that in this go around. Remember, every level you go to, you get more and more detail.
But the only thing I was bringing that up is because this went through the community, everybody's agreed to what this conceptual issue is going to be on the ranch, and this is what's the outcome of that development agreement.
Right.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Caruso. I just want to say that planning staff and Santa Margarita Ranch owners, as well as the community, have worked very hard to put a program together that will really take a look at all of the issues. And as Mr. Caruso pointed out, it is rather complex, and we're plowing new ground here, and so we're hoping that we will be able to accomplish all the goals. And Mr. Greening, I hope that your questions were answered, and Ms. Kirk also, I hope that your issues were addressed, and Mr. Caruso acknowledged that, you know, the amendments you raised were valid and would be carried out through the process. So if you're all happy at this level, we'll kick this thing off finally. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Items 3 and 8 and 14, Mr. Edge.
15, I thought you said.
Yeah, no, 15 is over with. 3, 8, and 14.
Yeah, 3, 8, and 14. I think Mr. Kovacs had mentioned 15 as well on the cost issue. The two questions: why aren't the costs listed on there, and why doesn't the county use its own staff to do those items? And then I'll hit on 14 after that. The first two items raised, the costs are listed on those cover sheets. B4, I think it is, or was it? I can't remember now which one we're going to say. B3 is current year cost of $277,000, of which $144,000 is the CEQA cost to the Morrow Group to do that. On item B8, that's a $90,000 cost. Again, that's listed on the agenda transmittal sheet. That's specifically for security services at the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. The reason, as an aside, we do that, it's not an environmental issue, is that it's a lot cheaper for us to use a secure private security service than to have deputy sheriffs or police officers act as security on a project. And on B15, the cost is not listed there. I think that was an oversight on staff's part. I'm sure it's in the detail of the contract, and we missed that one, and we apologize for that. It is our policy to list and identify staff's costs on the transmittal sheets. On item B14, that's the Ground Squirrel Hollow Community Services District. The folk who live there voted to establish the community services district to tax themselves for particular services that they want. They asked the county assessor and auditor and tax collector to do their work to collect the money on behalf of the community services district. And like we do with all other agencies for whom we collect those kind of money, we impose a $2 fee to recover some of our administrative costs in doing that work for them. That's what the California codes provide for, and this is a routine $2 assessment, but it is a community services district that the county isn't establishing. The local folk in Ground Squirrel Hollow created that particular service district, and I don't know if Supervisor Ovid was going to add to that or not.
Well, I was going to say that there's two votes that were taken to form the new special district, and first one was by 50% of property owners to form the district, but the second vote was by the registered voters to pass, and it took two-thirds to set the fees. And part of the fee structure was this $2 assessment. So it was, as you said, voted on and passed by more than a two-thirds majority of the property owners to really maintain the roads in their area. And that's that was, again, voted by the people.
The other question, Madam Chair, was on why doesn't county staff do the CEQA kind of reviews, environmental reviews. We do some environmental work at a staff level. However, we're not, two reasons, we're not staffed up to do this kind of work. The county planning staff is already pretty heavily loaded with their routine work. We could do this. We would have to add staff to do it. And the nature of the work is not such that in the past people have wanted county staff to do. There's always the argument that if your county staff is doing a CEQA analysis, they may be biased one way or the other. You know, people tend to see county staff through the lens of their particular viewpoint on a given proposal, and so they'll either think that if staff gives what they view as a favorable environmental report and they're opposed to the project, then staff is biased, and of course the other side would see it the other way. And so there are politically, I think, sound reasons for having an outside independent organization doing a CEQA analysis. The other is just the nature of the work doesn't lend itself to a staffing level of county staff where you can get overloaded by projects, say, in a given month for a period of time, and everybody working extremely hard, and then find that there is a slowdown in the market and you're now loaded with additional staff, and your board and your predecessors have tried to avoid getting into that boom and bust cycle of hiring and laying off staffs in any of our departments. We could do it. We don't think it's beneficial for the community overall for county staff to be doing that work all the time. As I said, we do have county staff that do environmental work on a regular basis, but we're not staffed up to do every environmental review.
Mr. Jenny.
PG&E Parks Manager, and as usual, I would agree completely with David and his assessment. And I'd like to add just one other wrinkle. B3, and for our viewers and listeners at home, these are the contracts for the preliminary engineering and the environmental assessment of the Bob Jones bike trail from the octagonal barn on South Agera to our staging area at Ontario Road. The one other wrinkle is that because much of the money that's funding this project is federal money, we have to not only meet CEQA standards, which are California environmental standards, but also NEPA standards, the federal standards, which are much more complex and something that our staff doesn't deal with on a regular basis, and actually became a very critical factor in the request for proposal evaluations to make sure we had a proposer who was well experienced with meeting the federal standards because of their added complexity. So one more reason why it's important that we have experts doing this work.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the explanation. With that, I have no more requests to speak forms. May we have a...
Move approval of the consent agenda items.
Okay. We have one motion and 2 seconds.
I heard that one first.
Okay. may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Shajian, and that includes the amendment,
yes,
to B7, correct? Okay. Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
15. Oh, okay. Okay. One more time. Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Ovid?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. And that concludes our consent agenda. May we have an introduction of item C1, please?
Item C1 has actually been withdrawn from the agenda as of last week, but it was the hearing to consider an appeal by Carrie Guise of the decision of the Planning Commission approving conditional use permit DRC 2004-00195 to allow a new 8.924 square foot commercial building and remodel of an existing structure to include a tower, decorative entryway, and outdoor dining area located at 671 West Heff Street in the community of Napomo. This is in the 4th District. This was actually continued from the 20th, but not really since it was withdrawn at that time.
Okay. So this item has been withdrawn. We have the withdrawal letter. I have one request to speak form, but the item has been withdrawn. So we will move on to the next item then. Item C2.
Item C2 is a hearing to consider an appeal by Tri-W Enterprises, Inc. of the Planning Director's determination concerning application from Tri-W Enterprises, Inc., requesting 17 certificates of compliance on an 84.92-acre property in the agriculture land use category. The project is located on the southeast corner of Thompson and Rancho Roads, south of Napomo Urban Reserve Line in the rural portion of the South County Planning Area. 4th District recommendation is for denial of the appeal.
Supervisor Shajian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know how many people are in the audience to speak on this item, but there has been a request by the applicant, and since it's in my district, I've agreed to that. Doesn't mean that there are two more words to agree with me, but to continue this item due to the reasons that the applicant brought to my attention, and I would like to see if that's acceptable by the majority of the board as what other time is available for us to postpone it to or to continue it to.
Time would be needed.
As soon as possible.
No, I mean, the amount of time during the hearing process itself.
The same as it was scheduled here today.
An hour?
We had scheduled 60 minutes for today. I don't think we will need 60 minutes. Depends on the public's... this has been in the burning for a lengthy period of time.
You actually have 40 minutes on October 18th and 125 on October 25th.
Let's go to the 18th.
I'll second that.
But I know
we need just a voice vote?
Yes.
I think Mr. Patterson wants to say something.
Well, we are going to also allow the members of the public who have come down here to speak on this if they... No. Okay. Mr. Wynn has indicated he doesn't wish to speak. So with that, Mr. Patterson...
I was just going to ask if there would be an opportunity for public comment.
Yeah. So... We need a voice vote or a roll call?
Voice vote is fine.
Okay, all in favor of continuing this item,
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. So the item is continued to what date?
October 18th.
October 18th. Okay. Thank you very much. And with that, we will take a 15-minute break and return it 20 minutes after. Actually, it's a 14-minute break.
Madam Chair, is
this just closed session?
The next, so the next item is a closed session. It should be a relatively short closed session today. Very short, as a matter of fact.
I have one request to speak form for closed session. Is Larry Verheilig? Yes, Mr. Verheilig.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and members of the board. My name is Larry Verheilig. I'm the current president of the Napomo Community Services District. I'd like to speak on item A4, NCSD versus the County of SLO. Mr. Asajjan once said, seems like in the political arena, these things take forever. And you know what? It's been forever. This is regarding the Summit Station EIR. There are few items in there that need cleaning up, and I'm looking forward to a expeditious, equitable resolution and settlement of this item. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next request to speak form on closed session is Mr. Wynn, Michael Wynn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since the last two items I turned in were canceled, I was afraid that you'd do away with closed session as well. But
I was going to recycle your request to speak for.
It has been expeditious. Thank you. I also am speaking to the same issue that President Verheilig spoke to you about just a moment ago. We would hope that we would be able to settle this out of court. We certainly have no desire to spend legal fees ourselves or to have you continue spending on an issue that's been going on for over 2 years now. We would like to see secondary dwellings permitted immediately within Summit Station so long as they're water neutral. We think that they would not require supplemental water, and we believe that could be done, and it's a response to a very great need for affordable housing. In addition, we would like to see subdivisions and other such changes that could be appealed for in the area to be handled in the same way that your staff has recommended as a response to the RMS Level 2 settlement for the entire Mesa. And we believe that we have common ground. We would like to see us get this thing put to rest and to move on. I don't think it's anything that reasonable people can't come to a conclusion about. We'd urge you to meet us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. With that, concludes our morning hearing items. I know that some folks are here for the vacation rental issue, but that will be this afternoon. And I'm not sure how long the first item this afternoon will be, so my suggestion is to come back by about 2:15 max, preferably 2. So with that, we will take a 10-minute break and go into closed session.
You going upstairs?
Upstairs?
Upstairs or downstairs?
Upstairs.